Welcome back, everyone. Going into the third hour here of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, what's going on?
So, all right, Piani, you're standing like knee deep in a like a snowdrift. You can see basically just like darkness all around you. There's a sort of snowy plain. You seem to be lit by moonlight, but you can't. You look up and you can't see the moon. Not because it's cloudy, but it's just you just see the darkness, the sky, and you have this intense feeling that something is like hunting you. You turn and look behind you. You can see your own footsteps. They trail out into the edge of the pool of moonlight you're standing in. But somewhere out there, somewhere in the dark, there's something like coming for you. What are you gonna do?
Like all around me, I just like literally see nothing.
You can maybe see. You think you see movement. You know, it's like really dark, and your brain kind of plays some tricks on you.
Right. Am I cold?
Yeah. And you're not until you think like, oh wow, it looks cold out here, and then you like start to shiver. And you realize, yeah, you're just wearing like, I don't know, like whatever you would normally like sleep in, so like a t-shirt or something. And like, yeah, you're like shaking, and you realize like your skin is like pale and, yeah.
And but I can't like I just see my own footsteps, so just no. But I feel like someone's following me.
Yeah, yeah. You have this sense of urgency, like you have to move.
I think instinctively, I'm like, oh shit, I have to get out of here. And then as I look around, I'm like, there's literally nowhere to go. Mm. And so I think I actually turn around, looking at my own footsteps, and I say, like, I can feel you. Just come out.
I think that you hear like heavy breathing, and maybe you see like steam like at the edge of your footpaths, and you feel like a chill run down your spine, and like fear starts to like well up in your stomach. Whatever it is that's following you, like you like on knowing that it's this close, like you have a body reaction to it.
All right. Well, I think like I get less tough and just start going.
Okay. All right. So, do you just like run in a random direction, or?
I guess I attempt to.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. So you run and you're running through the snow, and it's like getting deeper, and you can feel your like the muscles in your legs start to burn, and the sweat beating on your forehead immediately, like in the cold air, like chills, and you're moving through the darkness, and you see. Ahead of you through what you can only perceive to be like the shadow of trees. You see a big wooden building with a set of wooden double doors on the front. It looks abandoned. You know, you can see like a tree has sort of like fallen on the roof and broken it in. It's covered in snow.
Okay.
But it's something. It emerges from the...
Right.
Yeah.
I go for it.
Okay.
Right. When I get to it, can I like open the doors or?
Yeah. You run up to it and pull the doors open and rush inside and close the door behind you or?
Definitely. Yeah. In fact, like look and see, is there something I can bar the door with? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
So you look around. You look around and you can see a long wooden table with. Stools on either side of the table. It looks like there's like a the rotten like remains of like a feast. So there's like an ale jug knocked over with like water with like ale spilled onto the table. That's like frozen to the table now. There's plates with like rotting food on them, and you see a spear lying nearby, just like a long wooden pole
like
with
a spear.
A phallic symbol.
Yeah, you find one of those, and it's just like lying on the floor.
I grab it and almost like,
okay,
like pick it up, realizing like I have no idea how to use this thing, but just kind of like hold it up at the door, maybe like back up to the wall.
Okay, so you grab it and you have to pull it free, like it's stuck on something, and when you do, there's like a rattling as you you break the arm of a skeleton that's like was holding the spear. So these arm bones like break and clatter to the floor, and you're holding the spear, and there's like cobwebs hanging from the end of it, and you back up into the far end of the hall, and up a slight incline, there's a huge like wooden chair with its back curved to look like two like stylized like dragons' heads. The upholstery on the chair is all like rotten and like eaten through. But I think you like find yourself backed up against this chair as the doors of the building splinter and break, and something a great dark shadow like comes into the room, heralded by wind and snowflakes that blow into the hall.
I think realizing that I don't really have anywhere to go, I sort of like confront it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want? Why are you following me?
Yeah, you shout that out into the darkness, and it echoes off the walls. And as if in response, you realize that there's people standing with you. There's two people. You look to the side and you see yourself, but you're dressed differently. Your hair is cut differently. You look like a person who has lived a softer life than Piani did. You know, the signs of your psychic like traumas and the life of living on the Swan Song and like all of that wear and tear is just not present in this person. And she's holding the hand of a child. It's hard to tell whether it's a boy or a girl child. They're, you know, pale skin, short blonde hair, and just wearing kind of like indeterminate like kids clothes. And they're just holding they're holding hands.
Is this like a manifestation? Like, does this look solid to me?
Yeah, they're just standing there in the hall, like looking at you.
So they're not right next to me. Like,
yeah, like they're within, they're maybe on the other side of the chair from you.
I mean, like, I feel like my first instinct would actually reach out and touch it to see, you know, like, is that real or is, you know, I obviously don't even understand what's happening, but, you know, I'm just like, what? And, you know, maybe just kind of reach out.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You reach out and the you like holds the child back, like away from you. And says, the kid says, don't look at us. Look over there. It's inside now. You have to do something before it's too late. And you can see this canine shape kind of like moving slowly through the hallway, like sniffing at objects, knocking over things. And it seems to be like looking for you, though you're standing in the light. And why it doesn't just like look up and see you, you can't tell.
I mean, like, obviously a sense of urgency, but I'm like, who are you?
Don't worry about that now. It doesn't matter.
Well, what can I do?
And they both, like, the girl hasn't, like, you, hasn't said anything yet, but she just scowls at you like she's offended by your, like, lack of preparation. And the kid says, don't you know already? The old man said so. You've done everything that you're supposed to do. You just... And the thing like lifts its head and the table kind of like tilts over and like it stands and it's way bigger than you thought. And it's hard to tell whether it's been getting bigger as it's come towards you or that it was always this big, but you get this feeling of like it shouldn't have gone through the door. And it's, like I said, this big like shadowy kind of like canine shape. But both of its eyes are this like milky like white color.
Is it Gamork?
It's a little. It looks a little like that, but way less of like a shitty puppet.
Hey, hey,
hey,
and yeah, and the kid, the kid says to you, like, you're holding the spear and standing here in your pajamas, and the kid says, "Look, you're gonna have to do something. Doing nothing is the only thing that's not an option." And it starts to like move towards you as if it's picked up your scent.
I mean, I think with sort of those words of encouragement and realizing like, well, I don't really have much of an option. I think I sort of raise the spear in a defensive way and maybe even an offensive posture to like get ready to just try to stab the shit out of it.
Okay. Cool. So I think the last thing that you sense, there's a blur of motion, and you feel like hot like blood splash onto you. Maybe like get the taste of like the coppery taste of it in your mouth. There's the breath of this thing as it like leaps towards you, and the spear bites into its stomach, and then you wake up obviously in your bunk on the ship. And, or actually, I think you wake up in your chair. You were like doing something on the computer and fell asleep. So you like start, and there's the sound of the chair rolling on the deck, and you're breathing hard, and like your like shirt is like sweated through, and so we just see this like the scene of Piani like sitting in the chair like just breathing hard.
So actually, immediately after that, I sort of like I want to sort of jolt into attentiveness and then document everything that just happened to me.
Okay. So you're just like writing it down.
I just like just start pounding. Yeah. Just words into the terminal.
Okay. All right. So actually that's good. So we pan down to your hands on the keyboard. And as we pan up to your screen and we see the like lines of text forming, we use that shot to fade over to Eric. You're in your cabin, and you hear the like beeping sound of your terminal saying like you have a message.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, is it late at night? Is that kind of when we woke up?
Your sleep schedules are all kind of weird, and the day-night cycle on this planet is strange. So
yeah, okay. So yeah, I mean, I guess I was just lying on my bed reading some sort of, you know, mechanical journal, popular science 3000.
Probably space mechanics.
Yeah. Space mechanics 3000.
So yeah, I just head over to the terminal and thumb it on and see what the response is.
Okay. It's actually not a message from Rajani or from Rajani's office.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's it from? Who could it be from?
It's from your mom. Message from your mom.
Correct.
Does your do you have a name for your mom, or can I just give you one?
Should it be Aslaug?
Yeah, I was gonna say, or Solvig. Really, yeah. Like any bust out that Saga's jam. Cause
yep, let's go.
Time for Viking names.
Yeah,
if Aslaug. If you want, Adam, I can do the voice.
Hello, Eric. It's your mom. All right.
Hello, so, mom.
Yeah, so it comes from Aslaug Fredheim. What does your mom do on Sigrid?
Oh, God. Let me think. What would she be? I feel like my family is probably like some good, solid working class family.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe she was like a shipwright or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Like that makes sense. Like she wasn't really a highly educated engineer or anything like that, but she was, you know, an excellent outer space welder.
Okay. And I think that her husband, your father, is like a Huskarl to an important like Jarl.
Sure.
Okay. Cool.
Makes sense to me.
All right, so
in fact, his name is Carl.
Carl the Huskarl?
Yeah.
Carl of the house. Okay. So, yeah, so it's a message from it's like a video message from Aslaug Fredheim.
Yeah. Eric like closes it.
Yeah.
And then he goes and sits back on his bed, and then he goes back over and he opens it up, but he doesn't like click on it, and then he goes and sits back on his bed and like reading his magazine, and then he goes over, closes the magazine, puts it down next to it like squares off the magazine, and then he clicks play.
Okay. All right. So it starts in the way that many like messages from parents. Now, you haven't talked to your parents in a long time, right? Like you kind of left that behind.
I'm not super great at keeping in touch. Like I don't think my relationship with my parents is particularly antagonistic, but it's definitely like I went down a path that they didn't really look highly of. I didn't achieve the dreams that they wanted me to achieve. Like they were like, you know, wife, kids, you know, good, solid working class job. And I was like, oh, look, magic.
And
they
space
were like,
stuff.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So it starts with your mom. She's in her, like in your house that you grew up in. And it starts with her being like, you know, like Carl, is this on? I'm trying to record something, and like your dad comes over and it's like, yes, it's on, go ahead. And like he walks off and she like fixes her like dress and looks at the camera kind of sternly, and she's like, Eric, hello, from wherever you are. We are here on Sigrid, as usual, and I wanted to reach out to you because Something very big and important is happening here, and we wanted you to know about it. Now, we know that you have given up our ways, and we're very sad about that, but we thought that this was important anyway. Now, for some time, we've had problems in the north. One of the Jarls has gone out of communication and missed several important meetings. Now, your father has been called to join a council. This is important, Eric, so make sure you listen. And she, like, stops, and she's like, how can I tell if he's listening? And your dad's like,
Mom, that's not how it works.
Yeah, and it's, like, one-directional. So you're talking to a recording of her, and she's like, I can't tell. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then so she says, tomorrow your father and your cousin are going up north to investigate. And then she, like, gets kind of quiet, and she's like, I have heard some talking in the villages. I think something bad is going on. Eric, you don't have to come home, but please, if you could just send word. It's in times like this that a mother thinks of her children, and all the rest of my sons and daughters are here. So please get in touch when you can. That's all. I'm done now. And she, like, gets up and walks away. And then after about 4 or 5 seconds of inactivity, the camera, like, auto offs.
Nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, like, I think I, like, pick up my magazine and go, like, sit down on my bed and I'm, like, reading it. And then I, like, put down the magazine, go back, close the video file, go back to the bed, open the magazine, read it, close the magazine, bring it over to the desk, set it down, open up the video file, square off the magazine, and then I just, like, hit record.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, hi, Mom. You can tell it's recording because there's a little red button down in the lower right. You can see it whenever you press record. It lights up, and then it tells you that the video feed is active. Also, you don't need to tell me where you're messaging from, because usually the recording has metadata that tells me what system and what route you sent the message through. So you can see here that I'm actually broadcasting, and I just sort of ramble on for a little while.
Right.
And then I'm like, things were nice on Hueda, Mom. The university, they taught me a lot of very interesting things. I think I did really well. I made all my professors very proud. I got straight A's. I know that I was never really into schooling back on Sigrid, but I wanted you to know that I did good. I guess, you know, people don't really like me much, Mom. And that was true on Hueda too. They knew more because they like psychic powers there, but, well, you know, some important people weren't really fans of mine, so I left. But that's okay, because I have a really nice home now. I came aboard a ship. I joined up with a freighter called the Swan Song, and they're really friendly. There's the captain. His name is Wilfred Higgins, and he's... I think he likes me, even though he doesn't act like it all the time. And there's a girl here, Mom, and she's like me, and we get along. It's not romantic or anything like that. She's not a girlfriend, I think.
She's just a friend that is a girl.
Yeah, she's just a friend that's a girl, and she's really nice. And then I really like Alpharius. I think he might be the closest thing that I have to a friend. We've had some fun. If you get this message, you should search for Brumpotungus. It's I know you were never really big into hyperboat racing, but well, just look it up. I'm sorry to hear that there are problems back home. Can you tell me more? I don't know if I'll be able to get away, Mom. The Swan Song really needs me. I'm doing really important work. I'm starting on some really fascinating astronautic research. Maybe I'll tell you more about it. You might find it interesting, the materials that we'll be working with. Well, I think they'd be really valuable. But Tell me more, Mom. I miss you. And Dad. That's all. Bye. Luke.
Okay. And then you and you send that message?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So in I guess in a little while, Higgs, you get a message from Rajani's like office, basically.
Yeah.
It's a message from Rajani. It was like dictated to somebody else. And it's just in text. And it says, found some grad students on an Aximander university who owe me a favor or two over a missed shipment. And I'm willing to forego the money they owe me for a favor to a friend and his crew. They should be able to help you with your little science project. Here's a contact number. These people are shit. Treat them as you would. Well, I was going to say your enemies, but you know what to do. And then there's a contact ID underneath. It's attached to a name. His name's Wayne. Wayne Fowler.
Okay. I have like a huge smile on my face. I go to Eric's room. Or knock on the door first before entering.
Yeah, I think Eric just, he calls for you to come in.
Eric, wait.
Oh, hello, Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, we got a bunch of scientists for you to work with. But there's a catch, good. Okay?
Okay.
These people are the scum of the earth. And you got to treat them as such, okay?
Okay.
So I need you to be extra mean, but not too mean to where they don't want to work with you. Does that make sense?
What if I'm usually nice and people still don't want to work with me?
Well, then you just got to be mean all the time, and then people will want to work with you. Keep saying you don't want Reggiani to know that you're being in trouble. Just keep saying that over and over if they ever give you an issue.
Okay. I think I can do this.
Okay, yeah. And there, here's the I'll send you the email. It's got the contact information. We need to figure out when and where and all that stuff. So I'll leave that to you. You should make the introduction yourself.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
Yep. All right, good chat. I'll see you later. Cool. And I just kind of like walk out of the room, go back to my room, forward on the email.
Do I know where these people are now?
Which people?
The scientists.
No. Where, I mean, the contact is like @anaximander.edu kind of like right. Email address.
Yeah. So like, I still don't really know where we're going to be setting up shop for like the lab and stuff.
I mean, you could assume like the university.
Yeah. Okay. What? Is an Aximander? Yes. Okay, good. Got it. 404. We're way far away. Not that far. Okay. Two jumps. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We're
dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes. You're two death-defying jumps away.
So fucked. Yeah, I guess I draft an email and it's like, hello. Welcome aboard. We're going to be taking a look at, and then I like start listing off the things, and then I'm like, wait, delete, 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 delete. and then I start over and I'm like, I think really hard for like 20 minutes or something like that, and I start like three emails and then I delete them, and then finally I end up with like, look over this reference material, you'll find it useful, you know, tell me your, you know, send me your CVs, and then I just hit send.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, and I don't actually send them the information. I send them, like, you know, all the sort of textbooks that are relevant to the areas of interest, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So what? I guess like we can fast forward to the arrangement, but. Is there anything else that you want to do while you're on this planet? Like as a group, is there anything that anybody wants to do?
I don't think I have anything to do.
Okay.
Higgs is mostly concerned with getting the scientists to do their thing.
Sure. Okay, so I mean, you get an email back then, maybe a day or two later, Eric. That's like, wait, who the fuck are you? What do you want? I think this is okay. The wrong address, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I probably email back and I say something like, "I'm sorry. I thought is it Rajani who gave us the contact? That's who it was."
Yeah.
I say, "I'm sorry. I thought Rajani got us good, competent people. Let me explain. My name is Eric Fretheim, and we're going to be working on manufacturing some, you know, high volatility, you know," and I just like rattle off, you know, the technical specs of what we're going to be doing, and then I send it to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you mention Rajani, the next email back you get is like, "Whoa, whoa, hey, man! I told Rajani we would get her money. We just need like a little longer." And I don't know what you mean about manufacturing whatever, but. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was one shipment, and I promise I'll pay her back. I got a wire coming. You know, I'm going to come into some money real soon. So
yeah, I think I just email him back and I say, "She's tired of waiting. You work for me now. Send."
Okay. The reply is just like, "Look, man, maybe we can talk about this like in person or whatever." Just he's like, "Yeah," like it's a lot of like dissembling and kind of like, "Ooh, I don't know, I don't."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just being a dick about it. I guess like after like the third wishy-washy email, I probably would go to Higgins and be like, "Mr. Higgins, what in hell is going on here?" And I just like show him the exchange, and I'm like, "What do I say?"
So Higgs, looking at this email thread, you can tell like this is just a guy that has skills that Rajani was like, "Oh, we could make this work," and they happen to owe Rajani money over some like drug deal that they didn't pay for.
Yeah.
Do I know what the drugs are?
That's blue fever for sure.
Okay. Yeah, Eric. Okay, so tell him that if they don't listen to you, they're going to have to talk to your supervisor. Sorry, you're going to tell your supervisor to talk to them, and they don't want that.
Right.
And then if they do want that, forward them to me, and I'll do the rest.
Yeah. You know, I think after Higgs sort of makes clear exactly what's going on here, I say, "You owe Rajani. Rajani has put you under my, you know, she's put you at my service as a way of fulfilling a part of your debt. You know, either get in line or I'm going to have to forward this up the chain." That's the response I give.
And yeah. I think he replies with like, "Look, I'm going to tell you what I told Rajani, like she'll get her money. So, you know, whatever, unless you're going to come out here to an Anaximander, there's nothing like, I'm not doing science for you for free here. We had a deal and I'm working on it, but like step off, Viking."
Yeah. Mr. Higgins, were we planning on swinging by a Anaximander anytime soon?
I mean, you got to go to if that's where the lab's at, then yeah.
How long is it going to take us to get there?
Well, let's take a quick look, because we can just make some rolls and jump right to it if you want.
Yeah, I think like my next response is going to be like, "See you in 3 days."
Yeah, because you can do, it's 1, 2, 3
hexes and one jump now, right?
Yeah, it's a two jumps, and it cuts the distance down from 6. So it'd be 12 days normally, cuts it in 3, so it takes 4 days.
4 days, yeah. Okay, yeah. I just emailing back and I say,
see you in four days.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, let's cut right to there. So Higgs, do you want to make the navigation rolls to see how long it actually takes?
Do I ever?
It's gonna be like 38 days.
Yeah. See you in 4 days, Wayne. And we just see the swan song blow up and stuff.
Yep.
Oh God.
That's this game, though. Just the ships blowing up all the time.
Wait, where the fuck is my character?
See you later, Wayne. So don't forget, the ship has a plus. You get a plus 2 from the ships.
That's right. So navigation, which is intelligence, right?
I believe it's charisma.
Plus 2. All right, here's the roll.
Okay.
14.
Hot damn. All right, so that's your first jump. So you jump to, 1, 2, 3. Okay, and then you gotta do one more.
I'm the pilot, aren't I?
Well, yeah, pilot and the navigator are different.
Oh, they're different?
Yeah.
Well, look Higgs at me.
Higgs is the navigator.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Okay? No.
There's a second roll.
Okay.
10.
Redo it. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine.
I demand a 14 or better. Okay, cool. So you make the second jump. So 4 days later, so it's 6th of April. It's spring break on Anaximander University. And we get the like the long pan across the campus. Well, we've seen the Anaximander campus before in Piani's Strange Fever Dream. So maybe like Piani, a lot of these places seem familiar to you without you ever having been here before. Think of like it's basically like it's the best university in the entire sector. It's the highest place of learning. There's tons of like super intense research that goes on here, but it's also like a university, and it's on a moon orbiting Anaximander. And we cut to I think probably like a dorm room. You know, it's like a decent dorm room, but it's still pretty small. There's a set of like metal. Kind of like IKEA style, like bunk beds. There's a desk, and there's a like very angry looking kind of early 20s like grad student wearing like a polo shirt and slacks, and he's in his dorm, and the crew, you're all in his dorm room with him, and we cut into the middle of his conversation, and he's like, I don't know who he's talking to. I don't know who's taking lead on this, but he's like, look, I told Rajani I'd get her the money. We're good for it. I swear. We've done great business before. And he like starts to stand up. Like he's sitting on the bunk bed and he starts to stand up.
So wait, we're in his room?
Yeah, you're all in his dorm.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. How old is this kid?
He's like 21, 22.
Yeah. I think probably like I see how young he is. And I just kind of shake my head. And instead of, like, slamming him up against the wall, I just, like, lift his bed. And I'm just like, listen here, you lint licker. But Johnny put you in our care, so you're either going to listen to us or you're going to blow it out your ear.
He's like, I think maybe he looks at you, Piani, like, what? I don't.
I kind of look over at Higgs and I just drop the bed. Yeah, I just drop the bed and I say, we're here to collect on a debt you owe. You're going to help me.
And he looks around and he's like, yeah, I know. We owe Rajani a bunch of money. She didn't have to send her goons here to push me around. We'll pay her as soon as we can. I'm working on it. I got a real good deal coming up.
I just full on like backhand the kid.
Yeah, like, just when smack she's, him.
Or when he says goons, I just full on like backhand him.
Yeah, you don't have to send your goons. Like bah, he falls back nice. And he's like, ow, yeah. Shit, what'd you do that for?
Like, listen, kid, all right? Just listen, just shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear you talk. I'm done. We're not her goons, all right? And I can't believe she ever worked with you in the first place. You seem like a real piece of work. And that's coming from a real piece of work, all right? Now, what's going to happen? You're going to work with Eric here. He's a smart young man. You can learn a lot from him. And this is the easy way. The hard way is that Alpharius over here is going to start taking your fingers one by one until you help us figure out whatever we need to figure out. And if you don't have any fingers, well, then we're going to find your family. And they're going to start working for us. And we're going to take their fingers one by one. And eventually, if you have a whole family without fingers, we're just going to end up killing you because you're not going to be worth a shit. Do you get what I'm saying here?
Make your make a roll. Make a persuade roll with your charisma here.
Charisma assisted, no. 7.
Okay. So I think he's like looking at his hands while you're like, we're gonna take your fingers. Let's take it one by one. He's like, he looks at you and he's like, he starts to say something and then the door to the dorm opens up and like somebody else comes in the room, like just bursts in the room. They're like, hey Wayne, what's going on? And he like looks at these like armed dudes in the room and you can see that look, and Higgs, you've seen this a bunch of times before where someone is like, oh, I gotta call the police, and
who
he like gets
that?
This like it's just some other kid just like comes into the room.
He says Wayne.
Yeah, he's like, hey Wayne, what's good, and like stops and sees all of
hello
him.
Sir, yes, come on. I just grab him and shut the door, be like, Wayne, you've gone and fucked up. Now you've added another friend to your situation. That's 10 more fingers, like, Wayne.
Yeah, and he looks at me, he's like, oh god damn it, Jules, I was doing business in here, man. And Jules, his friend, is like, I'm sorry, man, I didn't know. And they're exchanging some short kind of like, shit. And Jules is like, what? Who are these friends of yours? And the Wayne is like, yeah, no, these are what's her face's, you know what? And he's like, oh shit, these are those goons that were emailing you.
I backhand the guy as well. Then I backhand the other guy.
So each of them gets a backhand.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm okay. Just like, now kids, we're not anyone's goons. I just want to send
Jules
that straight.
In the side of the head, and you like backhand Wayne in the face. Then Wayne is like holding his nose, and his friend's like, ow, why'd you hit me, man?
I go over and lock the door.
Okay.
And say, Wayne, Jules, it's a pleasure to meet you. Now we're gonna do some work here. It's gonna be a great scientific endeavor. We're going to find out what a caterpillar really can do. Now, that doesn't mean much. That doesn't make much sense.
Look at each other.
But Eric here is to help you. That's Eric. He's the one waving at you. I don't know why he's not speaking, but he does speak, I promise you. You're going to do good work, gentlemen. And we're going to get you a recommendation on your paper or whatever helps college kids out these days in this era. I don't know. I've never been in college. So
Wayne is like... Listen, man, this was a money for drugs deal, and we got the drugs, and we're working on the money, and we just need a little bit more time. I don't know anything about any like working for labor or whatever. And
all right, Eric is tired of this bullshit. He picks up Wayne and Jules and slams them both into the wall.
Well, now you've just gotta pissed them off.
Slam.
Okay, cool. Some like a framed picture falls off the wall and breaks on the floor.
Yeah,
and they're both like pinned against the wall, being like,
"Yeah." Like, as he does this, there's like a really concerned look on Alferez's face, and he says, "Eric, our captain has issued an appropriate threat. To not do that is to make him look bad."
I'm tired of arguing, and then I just step up to Wayne, and I say, the terms of your deal have been altered. Pray we don't alter them any further.
So Jules chokes out. Wayne can't speak because he got him pinned against the wall. But Jules is like, we can be reasonable, man. Just put us down. Put us down. Come on.
Yeah. I look over at Jules and I say, we've tried to be reasonable. And then I look back to Wayne and I say, I'm tired of this now. You work for me, and therefore you work for a Johnny.
Yeah, and Wayne is nodding. He's like, okay, we get it. Please, just stop.
Good. Yeah. Now, if you're not too stupid to get this through your heads, I think you'll actually find this very interesting. You were proposed to us not just as random fuckwits who could do whatever we needed to, but actually useful, intelligent people who had the training that we needed for some very advanced chemistry and metallurgy. You two are in that field, right?
And then they kind of look at each other and they like both nod.
Nod your heads.
Yeah.
Good. Like, uh-huh. And then I just like pull out two data pads and I say, you'll find copies of the information on these. Study them. There's no test. There's only how well you do or do not work for me.
And they both look at them and they're like, I think Jules is just like flipping through and he's like, this is some pretty advanced shit. I mean, we're gonna need to get help. And
that's why they pointed us to you. And I Wayne know is, it's going to take time. Wayne that's says, okay.
Wayne says, but man, I got a paper due next week.
Do you often go to office hours for your professor?
They like look at each other and like, sometimes?
You are really bad students, aren't you? Listen, and Eric sort of like pulls out a chair, turns it around backwards and sits down. He says, the first thing that you have to do when you're in college is always go to the professor's office hours. And when the professor knows you, he's going to be much more likely to give you an extension on your paper when someone comes to you extorting you.
They kind of like look at each other and nod. And they're like, okay, all right, man, we'll take a look. And I think they look at you, Higgs. And they're like, just keep the psycho away from me.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, we're done here. I'll be in touch. Make sure that you get back to me quickly when I need you. I don't really like Anaximander. They're kind of my rival school.
Okay. And so you leave, Eric?
Well, as we're like walking out as a group, I turn around and say, by the way, if anyone of any level besides the two of you hears about this and it's not warranted by us or told before, I'm going to send Alpharius back here. He's going to make sure that you have to get a robot body like him. You understand what I'm saying?
And they both look
I'm also Alpharius. Confused. You said Alphar- you wanted fingers cut off. And-
Do you understand what I'm saying?
And yeah, and they look at each other, and Wayne says to you, Alpharius, he's like, hey, man, I love cyborgs. I dated a cyborg for like 3 months, man. I'm cool with what you don't need to. I love my fingers, please.
I recently also encountered a human that was having interracial relations with a cyborg.
And they kind of look at each other like, should we be like, yes, or is that bad? Please don't kill us, violent man. And they just kind of like look at each other like, okay.
I just kind of stare at Alpharius and it's like a proud look of a son looking at of his father looking at his son. She's like, all right, we're done here. Have a good day, Jules and Wayne. Make sure you don't skip class. And okay. I just like shut the door.
All right. So the two of you leave, and immediately, like, you close the door, and you can hear them talking, and
shouting
like,
at each other.
Yeah, just being like, yeah. Wayne is like, "What the fuck, Jules?" And Jules is like, "We mean what the fuck? What the fuck, you, bro?" And then like they're just like immediately just blame firing back and forth. Yeah.
Eric sees Alpharius and Higgins come out, and he just says, "I think that went well.
It was all right."
Okay, so
not sure what happened.
So while this stuff is going on, where are y'all gonna stay? The whole planet is basically like it's a small moon. It's all used as university grounds. They have like research facilities, and there's like a park, and there's probably some like visitor housing if you want to stay there, or you can find some other place to stay if you like. But it's going to take them some time to like get the group together and do stuff.
What do you think?
I guess we just do the visitor lodging, whatever that means.
Yeah, it's essentially just like a hotel for visiting.
Yeah, I think we just do that. And stuff.
Okay. All right. So you head out of the dorms and you're passing across the commons and you notice there's some like students that are standing around an office building or something, and they seem to be like protesting something. They're holding signs that say like Cabral out of Andoni, Andoni for Andonians, and they're like shouting, and you recognize like they're shouting like badly because it's obviously not their first language, but they're like shouting in Swahili like Cabral get out and give us our planet back.
Hmm.
It seems to be like a little protest going on.
Okay.
As you walk by, Piani, like you've all been to an X-Men University before for that mission, but Piani, you're getting these like constant feelings of deja vu, like on the regular as you walk through the commons. You see that fountain that you saw in your dream. You see the
so,
like a bench you know you've sat on before.
Does my datapad have a camera?
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
Again, I think there we go. It does. In fact, it's like 8,000 megapixels. So
yeah, but it's got really shitty games.
Yeah, that's true. It's got like a bad version of Snake.
No, they're all pay to win, actually.
Yeah, you've got all these cool games.
Well, I'm fucking rich, so...
Listen, this is what has to happen. You have to go on a mission and earn a million credits so you can be the best at Space Royale.
I think I would actually... Like, if I'm noticing, like, I know this, I've seen this, like, in maybe an effort to understand what the fuck is happening, I'm just documenting everything. It's like... Probably one of the first times that everyone like seen me actually use my data pad to like data take pad, pictures okay. and shit. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think you're doing it, and then standing nearby, there's probably like, you know, a mom and dad taking the same like pictures of their newly arrived student like daughter on the planet. But yeah, you're making some documentation of the
plots. Anything that I would feel like, oh, I'm like, this is, something that I recognize or deja vu about this, then I would take a picture of it.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Okay. Yeah, so you you get lodging, and maybe over the course of the next few days, let's roll to see how long it takes for them to put the crew together and start working on the information.
All right.
Sure.
Eric, can you roll 3d6 for me?
Okay. Plow. 12. Okay.
12. All right. So to really like get together, because they have to keep stealing lab time and like doing this in the middle of the night, and
yeah,
they can't really like let on that it's happening. I think we get the like brief montage of this team of Jules and Wayne and some other like kids that are kind of like caught up in the drug selling scandal and don't want to get found out. It takes them just under 2 weeks to assemble the team and start the preliminary research.
Cool.
I think that, I don't know, how often do you check in? Like, what does this look like? When we see the montage, how present are the characters? What's everybody doing during this time on Enact's Memory?
I think Eric is checking in, like...
It's spring break in this sector of the university, so a lot of the students aren't actually studying. They're, like, going to bars and hanging out, and, like, it's fairly lively. It's a bit more, like, kind of tourist town. There's, like, sports events and stuff going on.
Yeah. Eric's just checking in whenever there's, like, an update, so if they're, like... Yeah, you know, by Thursday we should have the, you know, particle accelerator or whatever. Then, like, Thursday he's there, he's checking up. You know, probably he, like, sends an email to, like, check up on practice or, like, not practice, but on progress, mm-hmm. You know, halfway to the delivery point, and then on delivery there he is, you know, ready to receive. But he's not, like, micromanaging them. He just, okay, as soon as they are, like, not delivering to the full, he just, like, gives them the
yelling.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put you up against the wall again. Look,
yeah, totally. Darth Academia is coming out. Okay,
damn,
so
right.
while you're doing that, so you're spending your time kind of like checking in on them. Higgs, what are you doing? You got a whole university of young people partying to be around.
I'm the McConaughey hanging out with the young kids at the parties.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see how successful you are at that. Let's make a party roll.
Okay. Is that based off charisma? Or do you want
It's definitely based on charisma for sure.
May I also party?
Would you like also to? Okay. Well, go ahead and why don't you roll your party roll, Alfarious, and we'll see if you can help Higgs.
Okay.
And we'll make it a. It'd be like culture, like teens, I guess, but
not bad.
Got a pass.
Okay, yeah, you're 2-6. Okay,
what am I rolling here? Just flat charisma?
Yeah. You don't really have like university culture, so it's a minus one because you don't have the skill.
So I think my charisma is plus one. So he gave me a plus one, so I'll just keep it 2d6 plus one.
Okay.
12.
Awesome. Okay.
Yep, dude.
So there's a bar that kind of seems, it's like a bar / music venue that seems to be the kind of like hub of activity in this little like section of the university. Most of you end up, like most of the people end up there. So that's where you end up. I think that we see at one point we'll like zoom in on you know, Higgs and Alfarious at like a frat party at this bar. And so we see outside, there's this big neon sign. The place is called, Romeo and Juliet's. And so we see the sign as we pan down, and the like Romeo part of it is like flickering in and out. And we go through the door into the bar proper. And there's like a mechanical bull in the middle of the room. And there's like a crowd all around, like shouting and cheering. And as the camera pans through the crowd, is it one of you riding the mechanical bull to glory?
I think it's Alfarious.
Is it Alfarious?
If you asked me to do it, he would. Yeah,
I definitely goaded you on. Was just like, yeah, all the kids ride the bull. It's a rite of passage. Alfarious
is the objective to stay on the bull.
The objective is to stay on the bull. Yes.
All right, so you're having this pep talk right before.
Crush this game.
Is this how it
he
works?
Has like pneumatic There's actuators who are just like keeping his head perfectly stable while the bull is like
his built-in gyroscope.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like that video of like an owl or whatever where they're like moving the or like the chicken.
Yeah, he's every single character from a first person shooter seen in third yes. person. His head
yeah.
body flops.
Yep.
All right, well, Alpharius. Let's get an athletics roll, I guess, to see how well that goes for you.
You need to roll the mechanical bull skill.
Yeah.
On an athletics.
Yeah, you got athletics. Mechanical man versus the mechanical bull.
Excellent.
Oh. Nice.
All right.
So,
God damn it.
Oh, my God.
The guy is like running it, and I go over and I kind of straddle it, and it starts turning on or whatever.
I'm like, I'm in the crowd.
Like
remember, it's to stay on the bull.
Alpharius like starts to like slide off and fall over to the side, and gets really frustrated. And he just like jerks his arm, and a sword comes out of his arm, starts stabbing the bull as hard as he can.
Yeah. So some like
we're over again.
Yeah. One of the frat boys is like, yeah, kill it. And everybody like starts cheering, and then you get thrown from the bull. The bull like spins around, and it's like sparks are coming out of it, and then it just kind of like falls off of the mount. I think that yeah, like the bouncer like comes up, and then we cut to the two of you. You're outside now, like you've been ejected from the bar, but a bunch of the like people that were inside, a bunch of the like college students, like came out with you, and so the party has kind of moved out into the street. And there are a bunch of people that gathered around you. Alpharius, you and Higgs are kind of like leaned up against the side of the bar, and one of them, this woman, maybe she was the woman that like helped you up onto the, she was the attendee of the bull. She comes up to you, she's like, I've seen a lot of things in that arena, but I have never seen a man kill a bull with a sword, especially, she like kind of gestures at you, one so well equipped as yourself. And she laughs and like takes out a cigarette, and she's like, you got a light? And puts it in her mouth.
Yeah, he uses his hand light again.
Of course. So she laughs and like takes a drag on it. She's like, you look familiar. Are you, you're not from around here.
And kind of squeezes. No, I am not.
You look so familiar. You're a celebrity. You're in a band. She's like kind of like trying to like figure out. Like you can see it's turned into like a game where she's trying to figure out like, all right, I know this guy. Where is he from? She doesn't want you to just straight up tell her, but like wants hints.
I recently did a stint as a hyperboat driver, and some fame was acquired from this, as I understand it, on my Facebook page.
And so, yeah, she's like, oh, hyperboat racing. Oh, that's so cool. And she like grabs her friend. She's like, Janie, this guy's a hyperboat racer. And Janie's like, yeah, no, I know. That's Brumbo Dungus. And she's like, Brumbo who? And then her friend Janie gets all embarrassed and like looks at you, Higgs, like, oh, my God, how does she not know who this is?
I just kind of like stare at him. I just like shrug. I'm like, yep, yeah, you're on your own here. Just kind of like wait. Just awkward silence.
All right, what do you do, Alpharius? They're both like waiting for like exciting tales of hyperboat racing.
He kind of looks at both of them, and he doesn't have pupils per se, but you can see his eyes kind of like go down and then up. And he says,
Do we get the Terminator vision where you scan them?
Yeah. Well, he's checking. Yeah, he's got blood pressure and readouts in their temperature and predictive technologies, I suppose. And he says, being as how I'm a famous hyperboat driver, could I interest either of you in joined sex?
They kind of like look at each other, look at you. I mean, make a persuade roll, I guess.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to give you, I mean, it's a little on the nose. I'll give you a minus one.
It's just a minus one. Let me check my persuade here. It's a solid nothing, so that's a minus two.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So close.
Oh, that would have gone
sadness.
Well.
God damn it.
So he's
looking at him after asking that, and he sees the readings change quite drastically.
Yeah,
and
totally.
He says,
interest level dropping.
Of course, I'm just kidding. I would never be so forward.
I think at that point,
Alferi's just one of those guys.
Yeah. How about we do the thing? Oh, you don't like the thing? I was just kidding about the thing. Never mind.
Sorry, that text was meant for someone else. But
may I instead?
But are you?
Copious amounts of alcohol until perhaps a certain state of delirium.
So they look at each other like, yeah, no, that's cool. You have fun. And they look at Higgs and they're like, yeah, we're going to go. And they like go back inside. And I think that Janie is like, yeah, that was Brumbo Dungus. I hear he. And they like, she, you know, she's just telling some story about him as the two of them leave.
He dropped a kick of puppy.
Kind of watched them walk away for a few seconds. And then I look at Higgs and I say, I don't understand this society. I secured my place atop the bowl. The women were attracted to my fame. I proposed to them, the only alternative that could ever come from such an altercation, and yet they walk away just like the other one.
Well, I mean, you know, these college women, they think they're smart. So you got to kind of play to that, Alfarius. You got to think that, you got to let them think that they're smarter than you, you know? You know what I'm saying? And then does anyone else hear, do any other guys hear that around?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still kind of like a crowd. There's, you know, maybe like a dozen or so people out here that have like left the bar because they wanted to go with the guy who sorted the bull. But they're all kind of outside doing their own thing, like talking. And
gotcha.
Someone's passing around a Blue Fever inhaler.
I just grabbed the Blue Fever.
Hey, give me that. And so, yeah, some guy's like, hey, man. And you like take it from him.
It's like, shut up, kid. It's all right. You'll forget about it. And I just take a big dragon.
Forget about it.
You know, okay. Alfarius, can you ingest the fever?
I can. A lot of my body is still biological. I have no desire, though.
Okay. All right. I just like take a long drag. Be like,
I can actually simulate the effects of such drugs by just simply issuing a command.
Wait, really? You can do that?
Drugs.exe.
Absolutely. It's akin to diluting my decision-making processes and basically slowing down my system altogether. It's highly inefficient, but perhaps for a con.
That sounds incredible. How much did that stuff cost you? And was it painful? Did it hurt?
I was completely destroyed and obliterated in every physical way possible.
Well, that'd probably hurt, I would think. What about the
pain? Unreal.
Were you awake when they put all that stuff in you? On you? With you? I don't know how that works.
I awakened to them being partially through the process.
Oh.
So, Alfarius, you notice there are two guys that are standing kind of nearby that they're talking like quietly so you can't hear them, and they keep looking over at you. And they're kind of like they trigger your like, hey, these guys are, there's something going on over there. You can feel like they keep looking at you, and then they're like talking, and one of them keeps shaking his head.
Okay, I kind of just turn my head and regard them.
So now that, yeah, when you like catch them, basically one of them is like, hey, sorry, man. So, and he like comes up and he puts his hand out and he's like, I'm Brian. Hey.
I look down at his hand, look at him, and I shake it.
Okay. And so he shakes your hand and he looks at his friend. He's like, look, we were just talking and, are you Brumbo Tungus, man? Cause you look like Yeah. Well,
I look back at Higgins and just kind of look at him, and
you know about Brumbo Tungus?
And the guy's like, yeah, man. So, okay, we were talking about this. I heard a story, and I got to know if it's true, man. Okay. So I heard, and he just like looks back at Alfred. He's like, I heard that you shot a pirate ship out of the sky using only your fingers. Is that true? Did that happen?
I look back at them, and I say, as the sun and moon and the stars are witness to my actions, I can neither confirm nor deny what a pirate ship would do at the behest of a finger from my hand. But what I can tell you is that you, sir, need to focus on your hygiene to a level that is qualitative to perhaps a grown adult man. I understand you to be maturing as a pupae would on the leaf of a sun's... I can't fucking get myself up. But if you would take two gingerly steps backwards when you talk to me, that'd be great.
And they both look at each other, and I think one of them takes that to mean that yes. And he's like, see, I fucking told you, man. Brampo fucking Tungus, man. And he like slaps you on the back, Higgs, and he's like, pirate ships with only his fingers, man. Brampo fucking Tungus. This guy's great.
I'm like, I'm fucked up on blue fever, so I'm just like, man, this shit ain't not like they used to make it. It's so fucking strong now. I could have, man. Never seen a fucking talking bunny before.
I think I like kind of cozy up to Higgs. I'm like, Higgs, he's talking about your finger cannon.
He's what?
He was talking about your pirate ship shooting it out of the air.
You've seen the caterpillar?
Yeah, yeah, okay, Higgs. In fact, here's a cup of water, dude. You might need it.
Oh, yeah, give me some of that cactus juice. Just like, drink this entire thing.
Yeah, it's just streaming down your face as you pour it into your mouth.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, I guess you just hang out and party with these folks for a while. And the team that Eric has got together is like working through this material, and maybe we cut to the end of the like 2 weeks where, I don't know, Eric, you're there for sure, but is everybody else like at this kind of like end bit where they're paying off their debts? Because they've got the paper they've written or whatever, they've got the
I'm there. So I'm just cracking my fingers as each time something is said and there's hesitation from one of the students, I just like crack a single finger.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So you're talking to Wayne and he hands you the data stick, the thumb drive with all the information. He's like, listen, man, and they all look like shit. They're all like, you know, wearing the same shirt they've been wearing for like 3 days in a row, and they're all like bags under their eyes. You've been like running these students ragged. And so Wayne says to you, he's like, man, this stuff's intense. This is some high level shit. I mean, we worked out everything that we could, and like, you've got some serious formula here. You can make some bank off of this stuff. And he like, just keeps pointing at the stick. And he's like, the metallurgy alone, like there's hull material here that's half again as light as the lightest stuff Sunbeam's got, and the fuel admixture, I mean, man, I don't even, without practical testing, I don't know if I'd be able to believe it, but the chemistry's sound. Where did you get this stuff, man?
That's on a need to know basis, and you don't need to know.
I mean, yeah, okay, but
if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
And one of the other students is like, oh, no, please. And Jules is like, shh, it's okay, man. Shh, it's fine. And Wayne says to you, so that's what we got. Are we free?
Is it over? I mean, like, I guess I check over the thoroughness of the results and just be like,
yeah,
do I have everything I need, or are we missing something? Like, what else could I possibly get? Like,
you have raw material. Like, you still don't have, because it was never present, you still don't have the blueprints or the schematics for the hyperboat in particular. But yeah, you have all the materials. Like, you could use this to buy material you need and to run the processes that you would need to create the materials that were used to make the hyperboat and the fuel for the hyperboat. And you can see how Flynn adapted a drive engine to do micro spike drive jumps in real space to, like, so the hyperboat, the plan was not to get it to go from, you know, point A to point B as fast as possible, but to go, you know, point A through point Z with a series of micro jumps that are imperceptible that makes it look like it's going really fast.
Yeah.
It's a big, you know, they're a bunch of big cheaters, but
yeah,
the point was that, yeah, you have this technology, like laid out. You'd have to get some people to put it together for you, but yeah, it's, you have the plans. You have the intellectual property.
Cool. Yeah, then great. I think that's kind of all we need.
Okay.
I confiscate all of the information. You know, I download whatever I need off of their computers and whatever. And then I kind of look at them and I say, sorry about your grades, And then I just like take out a little dongle from my, you know, my belt or whatever. I stick it into their computer and it just instantly formats, like hard formats their hard drives. Chunk, chunk. I just go down the line formatting every single computer they've ever touched as far as like using this.
Sure. So we stay with Piani and Alfarious and Higgs while Eric is doing this. And somewhere down the line, you hear some kid be like, "Oh, my porn."
Yeah.
And then Eric, you're finished wiping. You wipe all the drives.
Yeah. Okay. And then I just, you know, turn around. I say, "Thank you for your efforts. I'll let Rajani know that you were very helpful.
And you
might want to get that money together."
Yeah, and so Wayne is like, "Wait, what? What do you mean the money? I thought we were just leave. What the fuck?" And you start to go, and he's like, "No, that's not the fucking deal. We spent 2 weeks." And now he's looking at anybody who's nearby, and like he Higgs, maybe you're trying to to leave, and he like grabs your sleeve, and he's like, "No, wait a fucking minute, man. We paid our debt."
As he grabs his sleeve, I grab his hand and try to forcibly remove it from him.
Okay, you're going to forcibly remove his hand from Higgs's sleeve, or
yeah, from him? Okay. No. Yeah,
I understand. Okay. I mean, you know, it's happened before. Okay, yeah, sure. So you want to just like you pull him away, and he's like, "Ow, my arm, dude."
Yep.
Alfarious, let me have the room, please.
He nods and walks out.
I shut the door and make sure like Piani and Eric and Alfarious are out.
Okay, so you're in. You're in one of the classrooms with, okay. You know, it's cleared because it's, it's spring break still. It's just the end of spring break. And yeah, so there's just like, you know, 8 people in here and you, okay. And so you get everybody else to leave.
I shut the door. So the lock is like really loud when the bolt slams.
Yeah. And so Wayne is like, "All right, man. So, you're going to talk to Rajani, right? Like, we're done with her and we can just
sit down. Everyone sit down." And I like walk to the front of the thing.
Okay.
Is there a podium or anything like that?
Yeah. So the thing is like all of the furniture is built into the floor. So they like go to stand where the desks would be and the desks kind of like emerge up out of the floor. And you walk up to the front and a little podium just goes and like pops up out of the floor and a little like hover, a little like hollow screen appears.
Hi, my name is Higgins. I'm going to give you guys the best college lesson you've ever
heard. Yeah, one of them, when you say that, one of them is like, "Hi, Mr. Higgs." And the other one slaps him. He's like, "Shut up, man."
Just like, Wayne, is it? It was Wayne, correct? Yes.
Wayne nods nervously, a drop of sweat falling onto his desk.
Wayne, what are you in school for? What do you want to be?
He kind of looks around. He's like, I don't know, man. I'm just an engineer. What was the question?
Jules, what about you? You know what you want to be when you get out of here?
He kind of like looks at the windows. And he's like, businessman?
Anyone else have any actual ideas besides Wayne and Jules here? You seem pretty lost.
One of them holds their hand up and he's like, I want to be a biochemist.
Okay. I mean, that's something, right?
The rest of them all kind of like just awkwardly look at each other like, "Oh God, what's happening?"
It's like, so a biochemist, I mean, that's a pretty good job, right? You can make a living on that.
Yeah, and he nods. Uh-huh.
Is there a lot of want for biochemistry in the world?
Maybe.
So who's actually paying for school here? Like, or is it your parents?
Maybe like 2 of them out of the 8 like raise their hand.
Okay, I see who I'm working with. All right. Well, look, I'm going to give you the harsh truth, all right? You got to actually care about all this shit because eventually it's going to matter. You're eventually going to get out of college. You're going to go do something big with your life. Hell, you just did something big with your life. You're never going to know what actually happened, though, with the stuff you just helped Eric with. It's going to change someone's, I'm probably going to get rich. You just made me rich, actually. That's what you did. And you're never going to see any money from it. So rule number one just happened is don't get fucked. All right? That's rule number one of Higgins 101 is don't get fucked. Right? Like go over to the board and just write, don't get fucked.
one of the kids, the one that was like, "Hey, Mr. Higgins," like actually has a data pad and like writes down. And like looks at you waiting for lesson number
two. I'm just like, no, that's good. Rule number one. Rule number two is don't let, and this is important, kids, don't let a fucking AI ruin your life. You understand me? That's rule number two.
So one of the students puts her hand up and they're like, sir, but what about Hardinger's theory of artificial intelligence economics? In that case, shouldn't we? And like he starts to saying some things to you.
Now,
this is going on about some theorem.
I understood two things there: AI and economics. Will this AI make you money?
And they kind of like, they're like, well, it's a hypothetical artificial intelligence, but yes, that's the theory.
Okay, one second. I like write down my number. Say, if this theory is ever proven and you make an AI that makes you money and it only does that, doesn't try to take over the galaxy, give me a call. All right? I want to know more on this theorem. Give me weekly updates.
You have one student writing down notes, seven students trembling in fear of the madman who has taken them hostage.
And then, just like in rule number three, if a group of four people ever comes to your university, your house, tries to get you to do something, just fucking do it. Don't be pain in the asses. All right? That goes back to rule number one. Don't get fucked. If you didn't get fucked here. You did a good job. So because you paid attention to rule number three, rule number one continued to exist. You get what I'm saying, kids? This is a theory of mine. It's don't get fucked theorem.
So I think most of the students are still listening, but Wayne is like, he's been fidgeting a little bit, and Wayne is like kind of fed up, and he like slams his hand on his desk and he gets up and he's like, "Listen, man, you come here in my fucking school, start pushing me around. I did my work for you and now you're trying to tell me how to live my life. Jesus fucking Christ, man." And he like walks up to you and he's like, "Why don't you take your cyborg and your Viking and that shitty little woman, wherever the fuck she's from."
Is this kid a young? Is he?
Yeah, this is Wayne.
A young, like whiny, like very.
He's like, oh, yeah, all up in your face, and you can.
He's
tell
not very strong.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's a malnourished college student.
To the best of my ability, I would like to just snap his neck. I don't know what you want me to do.
I like check. That, though, because it's not like you're not like a martial arts expert or some super strong guy. It would take like a,
yeah,
like
no,
a
it's
weird, awkward
just like
struggle.
A
you're just trying to break his neck the whole time. He's like, "No, stop.
I'm going to stop a little bit more."
And you're like literally trying to kill him. And the other people are so like taken aback by what's happening that they're probably like, "He's not choking him. I think he's actually twisting his head around."
What's happening? The kid just keeps turning over and his arm was... All right. Well, let's make an athletics roll.
Okay. Any assist? Maybe for surprise?
He's going to nail it. He's going to get like a 15.
This is why you don't fuck a stranger in the ass.
I mean, no, not really. Like, I think you just have your regular roll.
All right. Well, I get two rolls at least.
Yeah.
That's a two.
Good thing.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
You try to snap his neck and he accidentally like I said, super snaps awkward. Yours.
All right, yeah. let's do another athletics roll.
Okay.
10.
There it is. All right, it takes like 10 minutes probably solid of you. Just
can we have
like
a moment where like Higgs actually takes a break and like, you know, it's like, "Damn, it's hard to kill someone."
Don't you fucking leave. Come here.
More grunting.
Yeah, but eventually you get him on the ground and like, good. You like pull in the right way and he like kicks a couple of times and goes limp in your arms. And by then the only person left in the room is Jules, who's just standing in the back going like, "Oh God, what?" And he's like,
now Jules, listen. All right, I'm sorry about your buddy, but Rajani, that was part of the deal, all right? But she said to keep you alive, okay? Are we good?
Jules nods. He's like, uh-huh, yeah. All right.
You're, like, completely disheveled, sweaty, and, like...
I like breathing my hair back.
Yeah. It's not an awesome fight scene from a movie.
No, it's not
like
at all.
It's really awkward, like...
Totally. Trying not to barf, like, just... Totally. You're breathing really hard. Also.
Steel. God damn.
Yeah.
It's like wrestling off. Like wrestling off.
I'm just like, Wayne didn't follow. One sec. Is there any water in this fucking room? All right, I'm dying here.
Go to a water cooler.
Yeah, just get
pour yourself a little Dixie cup.
Yeah, I'm like leaning against the wall. It's like, oh God. All right. Listen, Jules. He got fucked. All right. Don't get fucked. Stay in school, kid. You're going to be something. Don't forget it.
I'm going to go. As people were filing out of the room, by the way, I came in and I'm now stuffing the body in like one of the cap, something like that.
Yeah. I'm just like, Jules, it's been a pleasure. You have a good day. We're going to get the fuck off this shitty moon.
Captain, the body's concealed, but it's best that we leave the premises immediately.
Yes, I agree. Let's get the fuck out of here. And then okay. We just kind of like walk out.
Awesome. Okay, so you walk out with your research data, and I guess like we did the last thing we see is you walking for the swan song.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. So we get the slow motion walk away with the swan song in the distance, and like this cluster of university students just looking at each other like, what the fuck is happening?
That was a good ending. I didn't intend on killing him, but it was too perfect.
Just because the Tungus?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly
on killing him.
Yeah, like it'll just be like the Anaximander University School newspaper will be like Brumpo Tungus killing spree. The madman Brumpo Tungus was spotted on Anaximander University.
A lack of cantaloupe surely led to a bloodthirsty rage.
Yeah. Jesus. Students said that he propositioned them outside of a bar before growing into a murderous rampage.
Yeah, when Tungus was denied sex, he went insane and strangled student Wayne Fowler.
After murdering a mechanical bull.
Lovely.
All right, let's do some shout-outs. Call it a show. Wheat, you want to start us off?
Sure. As always, it's nice to be kicking things off. We all leveled, and I still haven't decided how to spend my skill points. That was one thing I'm going to ask you about, Adam, just because I know there's some time restrictions for upping skills. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited to see where things are going to go. And you know where to find me, twitch.tv/DJWheat and Twitter DJWheat and Instagram and every other thing.
There you go.
That's out there. Snapchat. Do a lot of those. Like a lot of behind closed doors Snapchats. Ooh. No, not really. I don't use that shit.
Dick pics. He wants dick pics, guys.
I don't.
We need
I give. I give them, Jeff.
I've heard, oh well.
I am a giver.
To each their own.
How long has Swan Song been going on? 2 years.
Really?
Because it says that your card still says that you host live on 3, 8 bits and Twitch. Well, Twitch Weekly is every week.
Twitch Weekly is every week. 8 bits. We could probably, you know, that's at least stay that off. Live on 3 has now turned into playing Overwatch with Scoots and Slasher, which is kind of funny because
isn't it just Dead on 3? Do you think or
no, man?
Got him.
No,
you got him, Jeff.
It literally is when I it's literally live on 3 when I play Overwatch with Scoots and
because the three of you are live on a gaming channel. I understand the saying.
Yeah, more because it's like, you know, discussions about esports and everything's going on. But yeah, you know, like whatever you want to think, Jeff, it's cool.
Slasher, isn't he that writer for ESPN?
You know, I think Slasher, according to a few folks, you know, Richard Lewis is no longer relevant in esports.
It's
so
turning
he's only,
into,
he's only allowed to report now on mobile gaming for ESPN, which will make him relevant again. So
there you go.
That's what I got.
There you go. Steven, do us some shout outs.
Okay. Wow. Well, that was certainly a thing and a good thing at that. Yeah, you can follow me around the internet at Silent Osiris. That's kind of all I've got these days. I'll probably be streaming again sometime soon.
The end. When you're not busy making a video game.
And I'm not busy making a video game. All by myself. I'm actually the only person working on Roller Coaster Tycoon World. So, you know, I hope you guys...
Solo dev project.
Yep,
you
definitely.
Are the tycoon.
Yes, 100% of that project comes... No, God, no. Jesus. I really like the people who are working on it with me, and they're super awesome and busting their asses, as am I. So,
who, follow along. Steven, did the voice acting for the people screaming on the roller coasters?
You know, we have an audio group in Montreal that handled the audio, so I do not personally know who provided the screams.
All the screams are French-Canadian, then?
I couldn't even tell you that.
There you go. And West March is this Saturday with a new group.
Damn right.
With Adam on it himself.
That's right.
Yeah, forgot this thing. You know who's not going to be there is Jeff. He's not on West March.
No.
Well, last two times you've asked for groups, I come in like 10 minutes late. And like, oh, I'm like, fuck.
We give him that taste and then we take it away.
It's true. That's true.
That's all right.
Jeff, do some shout outs.
Just thank you everyone for tuning in as always. I want to give a special shout out to YouTube Gaming for the momentous launch that they've been having and just the continued momentum that they're building up. Player number two, man, they're doing great.
There you go.
For me personally, I'll just be slaving away at XCOM up and down the mountain I push that ball as they continue to murder me. I'm calling it Gate Crasher Simulator. I think it's actually a pretty good name for the stream.
I like it.
Thank you. Anything in the immediate future? I don't think so. Just doing the Swan Songs, playing XCOM and StarCraft 2. You can always just follow me on the stuff that's listed right there, and I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Last but not least, Adam, do some shout-outs for us.
It's me. I'm excited about my upcoming arc on the West Marches. I thought after I got all that cool gear, I would never be allowed to play again. So if you want some Dr. Grigori, you want to watch me and Steven fight like crazy, tune in for that. It's actually really fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to spitting in the eye of all of your NPCs. otherwise, just business as usual. Follow me on Twitter, Skinny Ghost, and twitch.tv/AdamCoble. I'm streaming more both like on and off schedule now because I have more space to do so. So I've been doing more kind of like, I don't know, I got 3 hours, let's play some Overwatch. So if you want to know when those things will happen, Twitter's the place to be. Otherwise, I will see you on Saturday. Accent in tow.
There you go. All right. That's going to do it for Swan Song tonight. we should be live next week. I don't see why we wouldn't, but we'll let you guys know when we know more, which should be relatively soon. So that's it. I'll do the rest of my shout-outs after we close out. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Later.